Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's off the line of scrimmage. The snap. Play action fake. Josh takes a look downfield. Got a man wide open and is caught. Touchdown. Gabriel Davis. Touchdown, Buffalo. A great play-action fake by Josh Allen. Gabriel Davis had a step. Josh in the shotgun. There's the snap. Looks to his right. Fires that way. Got a man there. Cole Beasley makes a catch, and he is into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Cole Beasley. What a great grab. He went up high and brought it down. Caught by Waller, the tight end, and he gets knocked down there. The ball comes out loose. The Bills jump on top of it. Run. Josh Norman has the football. They're going to rule it a fumble, or they're going to rule he was down.
Going the other way, Buffalo first
ball.
Down.
Buffalo ball at their own 40-yard line.
It's awesome, the guys that we have here. I love our team. The leadership, the type of the guys that we have here. We play as a team. We truly play for each other, and it's a great feeling when guys are pulling for each other on the field. And things are rolling right now, and we understand throughout the year we're probably going to hit some adversity at one point or another. So we got to continue to stay strong, stay together, but we love each other in Buffalo, and you know that's not going to change anytime soon.
It is a mental challenge for our team. We're being asked about it. Kind of, you know, the back third of our week last week, and the guys, they know who's next on the schedule. And to then come out here and focus like they did, I thought showed a lot. And then I'm concerned. I mean, when people are sick, we're concerned, whether it's a competitor or not. So we hope that everyone is doing okay on their end or improving. That said, I'm honestly, like you said, I'm just getting done this game, sitting in my locker with my luggage next to me here. We've been monitoring it, our operations people, Brandon Beam as well, have been monitoring it. And I'm sure they'll brief me when I get on the plane as to where things are.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands
all right.
Up
and shout. Hey, ready to rock and roll. Sal Capaccio here at the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Hey, welcome in. Good morning. It's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. And after a Bills victory, the fourth time this year, you heard right there, John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network call with a little Steve Tasker mixed in. Also, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott postgame after the Bills' 30-23 victory over the Las Vegas Raiders. The first time the Bills have won away against the Raiders in many, many years. What, the last time they won in, they hadn't won in Oakland, in times they played under Marone and Rex. And I think that 92 was the last time in L.A., I believe. So, yeah, first time, you know, Vegas has this new stadium. They open it up. They have a night game. They win. The Bills play the first afternoon game in Vegas. They win. By the way, Bills now, they played the first afternoon game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Mercedes-Benz Dome or Stadium. I think it's Stadium in Atlanta and won that. Remember Atlanta that year opened it up with a night game against the Packers and the Bills came in the first afternoon game and beat them? Same thing happened here in Vegas. The Raiders open up with a night game against the Saints, and then the Bills go in the first afternoon game, and they beat them. So, pretty good for the Bills, you know, just basically go to places that open new stadiums, play the first afternoon game, and you're going to be good. Welcome in not only on the radio side of things, WGR Sports Radio 550, but also we are streaming today. We are streaming on the WGR Facebook page. If you had not checked that out, make sure you do so. It is easy to find. Just go to Facebook, WGR 550. You can watch me. I am here saying hello to people. So thank you. We're going to try and do this as often as possible. We are live right now there, and we are live right now on WGR Sports Radio 550, however you're finding us, radio.com app, Alexa, lots of different ways to listen. And I know a lot of people want to hear and want to listen and want to join in the conversation today, and you should. 803-0550, 888-552-550. 30-23 victory for the Buffalo Bills yesterday over the Las Vegas Raiders in a game that I think kind of, you know, went as script as far as the Bills just kind of showing throughout the game they are the better team than the Raiders. I think most of us figured that. The Bills were favored, not by much. You know, they think they're favored by a field goal. They won by 7. But the Bills kind of took control. There were some ups and downs throughout the game. We can definitely talk about them. You can read about them as well in my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column at WGR550.com. Let me reset the show and let you know exactly what happens here, because maybe you're finding us for the first time on the stream today and you're like, hey, what's this show? Well, it's the Extra Point Show on WGR every Monday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. But what I do here is I take a lot of calls. You call me, you talk, I react, I listen, I give you some thoughts. The numbers, 803-0550, 888-550-2550 if you'd prefer that way. While I do that, I just let you have the forum. I let you have the floor. You call, you get in. I don't talk to people, bring them in from, you know, other radio stations, and don't talk to players, don't bring on guests or interviews. This is a reaction show every Monday, and we've been doing it like this for a while, and you guys bring it strong every week. It's a lot easier, I think, sometimes when the team is winning, and of course, that is the situation right now. Let me start here today. I have three words for you. The new reality. That's right. Three words. The new reality. I'll explain. See, we've been hearing those three words for close to 7 months now. All the way back in March, when I remember getting ready to watch the ACC tournament one afternoon. Syracuse had beat North Carolina. They were playing, what, Louisville, I think, the next day. I'm like, okay, let's go. Suddenly, it was postponed. Then it was canceled. The new realities of life that we've talked about. Social distancing, wearing masks, not being able to travel, quarantine lists, quarantining. The new realities of business, restaurants being closed, then opening, but only partially. Heck, even here in our own building. The only time I come in here is on Mondays to do this show. Otherwise, I go on the air from home or somewhere else because we have the technology to let that happen, thankfully. And when I do come in, I don't see people. It's like a ghost town. I see Brayton right now. He's on the other side of the glass. I see Howard. He just walked over there. There's no, the managers aren't around. The salespeople aren't around. People are working remotely. This is what we've come to expect at the realities of work. And then there's sports. No fans in the stands. Teams having to stay and games being played in bubbles. Reporters not even attending live. Broadcasters like myself and my colleagues on the Bills Radio Network doing away games remotely. Now, who knows how long all this is going to last and when some things are going to go back to the way they were pre-pandemic, hopefully at some point, right? But I've heard a lot of talk about the new reality and a lot of things staying the same moving forward. See, that's what the new reality is, right? The new reality means, hey, this is our world not only now, but in the future. It's the new reality. See, there are a few other new realities, though, I want to talk about that are going on that everyone needs to get used to. Not just in Buffalo, but around the country. Heck, those outside of Buffalo probably need to get used to them even more so because they either didn't believe the change was happening, weren't paying attention enough, or just flat out resisted it. Let me run through three of them. New reality number one. The Buffalo Bills have a franchise quarterback. He's the reason they're winning. Now, in years past, when the team started hot or they were in playoff contention, it may have been either mainly due to a really good running game or a defense. Not anymore. Josh Allen is proving every week that he is capable of putting an offense in his hands and throwing it into the end zone for points. Lots of points. And wins. New reality number two. The Bills have a 2020 offense, a 2020 play caller, a 2020 mentality and philosophy. These are not your father's or grandfather's Buffalo Bills anymore. They don't try to win lower scoring games. It's not even a conservative mentality for the most part when it comes to fourth downs. They run more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets than any team in the league. And going into the game yesterday against the Raiders, many thought the way to win was running the football. But you see, that's not who the Buffalo Bills are anymore. They have an identity, and they stick to it. It's spreading the field, throwing the ball, and attacking. That's how you win in the NFL in 2020. And finally, new reality number three. The Buffalo Bills are good. And they're going to be for a while. Now, you see, I had to add that second sentence because as much as it actually may be recognized that the Bills are playing well through 4 weeks of 2020, and there are still a lot who question their sustainability, both short-term this year and long-term. Can they keep this up? Can they keep playing the way they are on offense? Can Josh Allen stay hot? People are still questioning that, and I get it. I think that's fair. We know things change quickly in the NFL. They always have. There's a lot of things that come into play, including injuries, free agency, or even coordinators moving on to be head coaches if you want to think long-term. But right now, even if some of those things come into play for this team, and I'm talking about now and in the future, injuries, of course, free agency, guys leaving, coordinators, coaches, turnover. I'm here to tell you, the new reality is this is the most stable organization they have been since the 1990s. From the front office, led by Brandon Bean and a terrific and smart staff under him, to head coach Sean McDermott being the leader of a very buttoned up and prepared coaching staff, to a roster with more talent and depth than we've seen in a long, long time. 4-0 is great. The Bills are in a terrific situation after the first quarter of the season. Think about that. First quarter is done. Bills haven't lost yet. That's awesome. They may be in the driver's seat right now in the AFC East. We'll see what happens tonight when the Chiefs take on the Cam Newton-less Patriots. The Bills are right now one of the best teams in the conference. There's no denying that. But they're also set up for a future that includes more winning, more success. So if it hasn't happened yet, because you're just not conditioned to believe it, or maybe you haven't been paying enough attention, or you simply refuse to accept it, now is the time to change your mindset and understand what is happening. This is the new reality. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We're going to start off today with Zaire in Buffalo. And I hope I say your name right, Zaire.
You said it exactly right. What's up, Sal, my boy?
How are you, man?
I'm great. I follow you on Twitter till you be coming at these boys' neck when they talk about Josh and how bad he is.
Hey, you know what? I've been riding that train for a little while, and people need to be held accountable. Here's the thing, Zaire, and I'll tell you this. It's not just, hey, look at Josh Allen, he's great, and, you know, telling people about it. What has always bothered me, and I've said this, is I think the unfair vitriol that was thrown his way and made him a joke when he came into this league and for really the better part of 2 years that he's been in this league. And I think the people who did that to him should be held accountable and have to recognize that.
Nah, that's a fact. I feel the same way because you see growth from him every year, even every week almost.
That's right.
He's trying to grow that mindset that he wants to get better. So I always knew that he would turn out how he is right now. I never had a doubt in my mind.
What else is on your mind, buddy?
I just want to talk about the offensive line. I think we finally might have our starting five once Feliciano come back. I like Cody Ford at the left guard. He's another role grader, another dog on that left guard side. And him and John Feliciano on the same line is going to be great once he comes back. And I think we might have our starting five and consistency right there. And then I also wanted to bring up Josh Norman. He definitely needs to take over that starting spot. He brings that energy, that juice, that dog mentality that Levi just doesn't. I love Levi. I respect Levi. I'm glad he made the play last week for the interception, but he just don't bring that juice and that dog and that fight that Josh Norman do. Like, Josh Norman made a couple of great tackles yesterday, and he got the fumble, and he just was jawing at those guys all day. And I love that energy that he bring, and it's going to make our defense so much more better.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Let me talk to you on the O-line. I thought that, thanks, Zaire. I thought Quentin Spain going to right guard after Winters was injured was interesting because they didn't flip Cody Ford back to right guard and put Quentin Spain at left guard. This is another new reality, I guess, that, you know, Cody Ford's a starting left guard on this team because, well, how can you put it any other way? After after Winters goes out, they don't put him back to right guard. They leave him there. They put Quentin Spain at right guard. And I agree with you about Feliciano. When he comes back, he's probably actually the guy that's there. But we'll see, you know, how they treat that. We also don't know the severity of Brian Winters' injury at this point. We'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later on a Buffalo Football Monday. Josh Norman, yeah, I mean, the energy he brought yesterday, he made a play. That strip, the punch out and the fumble recovery changed the game. It really did. It was a turning point. And that energy he brought, you know, was something. And that matters to Sean McDermott. And it certainly mattered in the game yesterday, I'd say. Thanks for the phone call. Willis in Fredonia. Hi, Willis.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? It's great to be a winner, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. By the way, I don't mean any disrespect when I say this. I had a dog named Willis because of Willis McGahee at the time with the Bills, and my wife has always been a big Bruce Willis fan.
Ah, I still have the jersey hanging.
There you go. So, what's up, man?
Well, you know, I just wanted to get your POV on, you know, maybe I'm an old school guy and all that, but, you know, when Marv came in and he stressed special teams and, you know, all that, Tasker and everything, I'm seeing a lot of great things happening. You know, the return game, all these other things. But, man, what's with these kickers? What's the deal here? Are they?
Well, I mean, he had a miss yesterday, but he was 4 or 5 overall. I mean, he had 5 attempts. He missed one. He's not going to be 100%. No kicker is. We'd love him to get them all, Willis. There's no doubt. And I do believe, you know, NFL kickers, especially in domes, should hit extra points. But they're not chip shots anymore, and he was 4 of 5 overall yesterday.
I just get worried about these high-scoring games, you know.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, that could come into play. I think the thing that you need to concern yourself with, and I think it's a fair concern, Willis, but also understand is he is a rookie. He's kind of learning on the job, and I think once they moved on from Steven Hauschka and they kept Tyler Bass, we all recognized that he's probably going, you're going to live with a couple ups and downs. You just hope that the downs don't come in a big game in a big spot. But I think long term, this was the right call. You know, not Steven Hauschka can't hit he doesn't have the leg. The kickoffs matter too. I'm just here to tell you, I think your concern is correct by missing an extra point, but overall, he made 4 out of 5 yesterday. He is a rookie, and you're probably going to have to live with a missed kick here or there this year until, you know, this kid gets used to it.
Well, you know, that's a great take, Sal. And I'm just a little concerned about, I watched Bohorquez.
Yeah. Bohorquez wasn't good yesterday. I thought he should have pinned a couple of punts inside the 20 and instead he put him into the end zone, which gave the Bills basically not much extra advantage on field position. Yeah, thanks, Willis. I appreciate the phone call. Andre Roberts was great, though, yesterday on a punt return, 38 yards, only one chance. Imagine if that guy gets more opportunities. He's only had, because the defense hasn't played great, he's only had a few punt return opportunities, but yet he's leading the league in total punt return yards and yards per return. Wrote about that. Check it out, WGR550.com, arrow up, arrow down. Let's go to Matt in Orchard Park.
Hey, Sal, and you have to feel great about the Andre Roberts every August. It's Groundhog's Day, and he looks great. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, come on, what more do you want anymore? And I've been on that train for a while. And it's not because I value necessarily, Matt. I think one thing that always people get confused about is it's not that I say, oh my God, you got to have a really great return man. What I say is, if you have one, you keep him, and he can make a difference.
Exactly right. And I think I always find myself in August when you're doing the numbers game 6, how does he fit in? And then every, you know, October, I'm happy that we have him.
And by the way, he's fit in. They kept all 6. They didn't even get rid of Isaiah McKenzie. Now Duke Williams is on the practice squad. Is anybody clamoring for Duke Williams right now to have to take somebody's spot? I don't think so.
Most certainly not. So I love the way you kicked off the show and actually tied into how I wanted 3 words that I said. And instead of a new normal or
reality.
A new hope or the new hope in Star Wars. I know you recently rewatched that.
I did.
One of my favorite things coming out of yesterday was Dawson Knox sharing out the clip from the end of the New Hope and where Luke and Han and squad take down the Death Star. And I just thought that was a really funny video that he tweeted out after the game, just giving the Raiders Allegiant Stadium nickname. And obviously something fun that I think will pick up some national publicity. The only other thing I'll leave you with before I hop off and love the live stream here on Facebook is Brian Daboll. I think yesterday was the first of the 4 games where he's starting to get picked up nationally. It's kind of a bittersweet moment where, you know, if he keeps running these plays, if the red zone efficiency is still there, he's going to, you know, coach himself right out of a job here in Buffalo. And I think That will be very disappointing for a lot of us. So just wanted to hear your talk.
Yeah, I mean, of course it would be, but I'd be happy for Brian Daboll, of course, right? I mean, if you earn that right, you earn that job. I mean, I think all of us in our lives, you know, we're trying to get to the pinnacle of our profession in some way, right? I mean, that's what he's trying to do. So, and I know you're not saying, you know, he shouldn't do that. Yeah, look, if Brian Daboll gets a head coaching job, that's a good thing. That means the Buffalo Bills were really good. But it's also a challenge to replace him with somebody who's going to have, you know, the same kind of relationship with Josh and development. But I think at this point, like I said, and let's go back to what I said, the new reality. I have a lot of faith right now in this organization to replenish and replace not only personnel on the field, but coaches off the field and front office people. You know, I think that they have a really good blueprint and plan. They have smart people. And I can guarantee you Brandon Bean has a list of people and Sean McDermott has a list of people that, you know, work around the league that if they ever become available, they'd like to bring on their staff. And if someone leaves their staff, they'd like to, you know, reach out to. I think that's obvious that you have to do it that way. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they already have people, at least not in mind necessarily because you're thinking about it, but at least somewhere in some folder somewhere or some notebook, whatever, names. And sure, I mean, you could lose a coordinator and things change for the worse. But I think that with Sean McDermott and his philosophy and knowing that he would bring somebody in that would understand what he wants, I think they'd be okay. But we'll see. And here's the other thing. I actually hate talking about it. I do because you bring it up. That's fine. I hate talking about it because they have 12 more games to go this year, plus playoffs. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it. We'll see what happens. But the Bills are in a good spot. Coaches will want to come here. They'll want to come here. That's also the new reality, by the way. I didn't even include that. Players and coaches, they want to be in Buffalo. Jerry in Kenmore. Hi, Jerry. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. I have a point, but before that, I want to defend the punter a little bit. I think it's very hard to be a special teams player in this league, like a punter, and not see the field but once or twice and be on your game. You know, he doesn't get into any rhythm or any flow of the game. I know he only has one job, but, you know, he's only punting twice a game for us, and that can't be easy.
Can I also add that, fine, I don't know. I still think he should have been better yesterday, but he also was very good before that. I thought he'd played pretty well in his limited opportunities, and he'd done a really good job, a 72 or 73-yarder a couple weeks ago. He's pinned a lot inside the 20. I didn't think yesterday was his best day. By the way, the other part about that is, if I can, Jerry, I just talked about the Tyler Bass. On that extra point, the laces were back, and that's on Bohorquez. He's got to be better than that. He's got to put the laces out. Now, I'll also say, you know, you're a professional kicker. It's not the longest kick in the world. Even if laces are not in the right spot, you know, I mean, you got to still make the kick. But I do think that Bohorquez played a role in that extra point being missed.
All right. My main point, and I'm going to date myself here. I had to even explain this to your call screener. If this week we trade for Cornelius Bennett, I feel like 25 years ago. Like, this team is at that point offensively where the only thing really missing on this team is that edge rusher, which is partially depth at linebacker. You know, the Bills, we don't get enough credit for that trade when the Bills made that turn in, you know, 89-90.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, they traded for Bennett, though, in 87. You know, he comes in, and, you know, it was a game changer, right? But he was such a good player on defense. It was kind of like the missing piece. And I think that's what you're saying, right, Jerry? I mean, like, the offense is there, maybe a missing piece on the defense.
This feels like that team, except for that one superstar defender that makes plays all over the place.
Yeah, that's right. And the way I've described it, Jerry, is the Bills defense has always been, under Sean McDermott, more about the sum than the parts. You know what I mean? Now, they had great parts in those days, there's no doubt, but they were also really good defense. But they had Hall of Famers. They had Bruce Smith, you know, and they had guys who maybe should be in the Hall of Fame. They had Wall of Famers. And, you know, Daryl Talley's on that team. They had great players. They had good corners and safeties and everybody. But this team doesn't have necessarily that really high top-end talent. But they have a lot of really good players and a good system, a good philosophy, and they're well coached. I hear you what you're saying on there. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We got a lot more coming. Good start to the show. Don't forget we're streaming over on our WGR Facebook page. So hello to everybody out there. I'll get into that in a little while. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get some more of your phone calls. And a little bit later, of course, we got sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and all the fixins that we like to do on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Exactly where it was, but we were trying to make some calls and they were out executing us, out operating us, and we didn't have the rush we needed. And so, but we did a better job in the second half. It's something that we have to continue to look at because we did have them in some third and longs in the first half there.
That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Hey, if you're watching on the stream, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. WGR Facebook page, check it out. WGR 550 on Facebook. I'm here. I'm Sal. It's the Extra Point Show. We're taking phone calls. We're doing our best to have you be able to listen to all the calls as well. The new technology, it's really working out awesome. But, you know, if you come along the stream, you should be able to hear, you know, all the callers. We're doing our best on that side of things. But it's really cool. Look, check it out. Got my man Blair in the other room helping out with Brayton. And they're trying to make me look good, although not really. I am wearing my Real Men Wear Pink. By the way, here, I'll just put down the camera. Check it out. Real Men Wear Pink. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but it is October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm trying to do my part. So I have a Real Men Wear Pink page. You can make donations, and all of it goes to the American Cancer Society and my Real Men Wear Pink campaign. So that's why I'm wearing some pink today, and I even got my pink bracelet on. See, I'm looking up, showing you now on the stream. So thanks to all of those who have donated, and hopefully you can as well. Let's go to Rob in Cheektowaga, who's next up on WGR. What's up, Rob?
Hi, I'd like to make a point, not about the game, about next year's salary cap. In the perfect world, I would love to see Milano and Edmund side-by-side. Two young, good guys, they both have their own, you know, niche role. They work well together. But with the salary cap going down, presumably next year, I don't think you can keep both. I would keep Milano over Edmund. I hate to say it, but I think Milano is a little better player in your respect. He's always around the ball. And if you look at Edmonds, I know he gets a lot of tackles, but a lot of those tackles are porous up front defense, 6-7 yards after the ball carrier runs up the gut. Edmonds is sort of deficient in covering a back or an end out of the backfield. And also, I think Edmonds gets duped out a lot. You know, he should be tackling guys, but he misses them. It's a tough call, but for those reasons, I would keep Milano over Evans.
I agree with a lot of what you said, Rob. I agree with a lot of what you said. I think the issue here is timing, though, because it's not necessarily it could be a choose one or the other. The problem is it's not like you're getting rid of Tremaine Edmonds after this year. And if you want to pay Matt Milano, you do that and you still have them because Tremaine Edmonds is still under contract not only this year but the year after for his fifth year option. So to me, the issue is also timing. And the salary cap is in a spot where it's going to be tough to keep Matt Milano. He's going to make a lot of money, and I don't know if the Bills can necessarily do that. So I agree with you that in a perfect world, I'd love to keep them both, and I probably would choose Milano right now because of all the reasons you stated. However, I think that that's going to be very hard to do, so you may just have to shift your focus and say, look, we're just going to have to develop the next Matt Milano if we can. And that's maybe not. I don't know. Hopefully he stays. But the issue to me is timing and the salary cap. He's a good player, and they don't have a lot of room, and it'd be great to keep him. But then I think that then you then have to make the decision on Edmonds, which I think what you're saying is you do that, and then you make that decision later on Edmonds.
I think Milano will give you a hometown discount. I'm not saying Edmonds would. I think.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not his agent, and I don't know why he would necessarily.
Also,
I mean, it's nice to say that with guys, but I'm not sure that would be the case.
And down the road, I mean, do you pay Edmonds or do you pay Allen?
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't know. I look, it's a timing thing too. This is another thing I hate really talking about necessarily right now because it's so far down the road and they're 4-0. This is not an 0-4 team or a 1-3 team that we're looking at the future. We're not looking at draft picks. There were many years that I'd come on the radio after 4 weeks, and we would talk about future and draft picks and salary cap. I don't want to do that right now. I know it's tempting. I just want to cross those bridges when we come to it. The first thing I want to do is get Matt Milano back on the field. He injured his pec yesterday. And that's always a scary thing. And we don't know the status of that yet. Now, I will tell you, Tyrell Dotson played well, I thought. Finally, you know, AJ Klein was in originally. He's normally the backup will linebacker to Matt Milano. I don't think he's athletic enough. He is not the athlete Matt Milano is. Tyrell Dotson is a good athlete. He's a better athlete to me than AJ Klein. He's not Matt Milano. He hasn't gotten that experience. He's not around the ball all the time. He's not making those plays. He's not covering tight ends the way Milano necessarily can or in coverage in general. But I think he at least played better than AJ Klein did, and I would start making that particular switch, which is if Matt Milano's not going to be on the field, you got to put Tyrell Dotson out there, not AJ Klein. But in the meantime, I need Milano back. That's my immediate concern with Matt Milano, not his contract right now. Those are things you have to sort out later. You just never know where they go. But I do appreciate the thought and the sentiment, and I don't agree with a lot of what you said on that. Let's go to DJ in Lake Placid. Hi, DJ, you're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. First off, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Can I use a hey, buddy?
You got one. Go ahead. Maybe I'll use it, too.
Yes, sir. I'd like to give a hey, buddy, to Tyler Bass, because first of all, I want to say, hey, buddy, you got to make that extra point. But we also know, based on the stats, that kicking is down for the extra point around the
And like I also said, I mean, I agree he has to make it, but there were some other circumstances. That ball was not put in the right spot. I'm not saying it's totally Borquist's fault at all. I think he still needs to make it, but I do think it matters when the laces are not in the proper spot when they should be.
Yes, sir. So the second part to that, hey, buddy, is to give him the utmost of credit for taking that tackle of Rashard down, because from the camera angle, it was like that center field angle where you see him coming at you. And I just saw him breaking through those tackles, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's going to take it to the house. But Bass took him down, and you could tell Bass was amped up after that. And so it's just kind of like without that, that could have been easily like they could have gone in and tied it with an extra point, or they could have maybe gone for the 2-point conversion and taken a lead. And that would have really.
And that was right after. I think that was right after the missed extra point, right?
100%, yes. And that was also that tackle led the series that Norman was a part of. So it really just kind of started with Tyler Bass, you know, and I just wanted to give him kudos for that. So thank you for your time, Sal.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We got open phone lines now. Jump in. This is a show where I take calls. And I only see one guy on the line right now, and that's my man Mo. What's up, Mo?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Good, man. Thank you always for giving us a place to have our voice be heard in this area. A lot of people have a lot to say about football, so it's greatly appreciated. I wanted to talk about Bass too. I don't understand with the kickers now. Why do they like to slice it? I think it would be easier just to hit it from the middle. That's something that that our last kicker did as well. I don't really understand that. And
why do they do what? See, give me one more thing. What'd you say again about that?
They put it to the left. They put it to the left hash.
Oh yeah. Well, that's up to the kid. Look, I'll tell you how it works, Mo. It's up to the kicker. Whatever he wants. If he's going to go out every game and he's going to do his warm ups, and when it comes time for the extra point, he's going to tell the official, I want it left or right or middle. They can choose that. Same thing on 2-point conversions. If you're going to do a 2-point conversion, Josh Allen will tell the official, put it on the left hash, the right hash, or in the middle based on what play they want to run.
No, I get it. It just seems like you give more of a chance of, you know, slicing it.
Sure.
Trying to kick it to the right. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
I get you.
Another great win. Klein, he just hasn't been doing a lot for me. I was happy to see Dotson go back in there. And I think it was a big plus for us having Norman out there. He brings an edge and, dare I say, swagger that we haven't seen out there. You know, I think he just brought an edge, you know, that I like to see. He was,
yep.
He punched that ball. I'm like, we haven't seen that. Thank you. You know, so I think, you know, overall, man, good, another good win for us. And, you know, go Bills. We're going on 4-0, baby.
All right, Mo, thanks for all you do, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, it's funny because Mo calls the show a lot. He's a Buffalo police officer. He actually texted me during the game yesterday and said, why is Terrell Dotson not playing more? And then I texted him back like literally an hour later. I'm like, okay, you got your wish. Terrell Dotson's playing more. But that's a point I agreed with. I thought Klein was getting beaten. He got beat in the end zone on the play. I don't think he's a true will backup linebacker. I think he'd fit better behind Edmonds. I think he's more of a Mike. He is a strong side guy. I'm not telling you AJ Klein stinks. I'm telling you, I just don't think he fits in that particular spot in this defense as well as he could play somewhere else. And I think Terrell Dotson fits better in that spot. Joe down in Florida. Hi, Joe. You're on WGR.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
Remember the days back when Pat Williams and Pat Washington were in the front of our line? Nobody ran through us. They always had to run around us. That was always entertaining. Are we thinking about trading for a large 350-pound space heater up in the middle to replace Starter Tule for this season?
Well, I don't know if they're thinking about it or not. I do think that it's been a concern that they've, you know, against a bigger physical offensive line. I do want to point this out, Joe. You might not realize this. The Bills were very good against the run yesterday. They allowed less than 4 yards a carry to a very good run team. But I'm not discounting your concern. I do think they struggle with bigger and physical offensive lines in general, which is why the Rams. But here's the reason. Because their strength of their defense is athleticism and versatility. And if you want to go with that philosophy, you're going to lose a little bit as far as size and being able to tie guys up and keep your linebackers clean. It's sometimes it's one or the other. I mean, if they play a team that's not as big or physical, they're going to be able to use that versatility and athleticism to create more plays. And I just think sometimes it's a matchup issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and to that point, I think all they need to do is play together more.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you giving the call. Al in Buffalo. Hi, Al. You're on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Hey, what's up, buddy? I was calling because at first I wasn't a fan of Josh Allen. I'm not going to lie. He just was too inaccurate. He's made me a believer. I think the Bills need to go ahead and sign him.
Well, they can't do that until the end of this season. He is he's in his third year. The NFL rules state, according to the CBA, you have to have completed 3 years before you can sign your first contract extension.
Oh, okay. Well, that's our guy. And I figure in off season, I think I'm not really a big fan of Josh Brown anymore.
You mean John Brown?
Yeah, John Brown.
Why would you not be a fan of John Brown?
He's not doing anything. I will get rid of him and grab somebody else.
Did you not watch the game yesterday? I mean, he had one of the most amazing catches you'd see in the goal line, and the guy puts up 70, 60 to 80 yards every week.
Oh, see. I'm not paying attention to that. You're right. Well, we at least need a tight end in the offseason. I would just keep improving, but I'm a fan of the Bills. At first, the whole little camaraderie thing and we need to build chemistry, I'm like, come on. But McDermott, that's our guy.
No, I hear you, man, on that. Like, that for a lot of people, it's the same thing coaches say all the time. Character, chemistry, build. I'm a believer in that stuff. I'm not telling you it's the end-all, be-all. You know what's the most important thing? Having talent. Talent is the most important. You have to have talent. You're not going to win. However, you can make up in many areas and many times for a lack of talent if you have people who do their job, understand what is being asked of them, and prepare correctly. You can bridge that talent gap if that's the case. And if you have lesser talent, but people who do that, I think you're better off. I think Sean McDermott runs a really good program. I think they have a very good vision on the kinds of players and system they want in place. On the field, off the field, the people they bring in, how they run their team, their program, no doubt about it. But I don't know what you're talking about John Brown, dude. John Brown is terrific. I mean, he is a really, really good football player. All right, on that note, we'll take a timeout. I'll come back. We got more of your phone calls. Now they're coming in. See, that's all I had to do was give you the phone number. 803-0550, 888-550-2550, The Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, back here on the Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550. Not only on the radio, also streaming on our WGR Facebook page. Check that out. Facebook, WGR 550. Facebook/, WGR 550. Got a lot to get to in the next hour, including sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, I got a good, really good stand down for you today. I'm just teasing. It's like the best stand down I've ever had. I thought a little creatively and out of the box today. Just wait till I get to my stand down later. You'll hear what I have. All right, John up in Toronto. Hi, John. Thanks for tuning in and listening.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for having me on. First of all, I love what the Bills are doing generally. It's just been great. I do have one little concern yesterday that reminded me of the Marv Levy days a little bit. It was about 4 minutes and 30 seconds left on the clock, and we're up by two scores. All of a sudden, we go three and out by running the ball three times. My belief is we probably should have tried it first. Our strength was passing the ball, burns clock time. They didn't seem to do that. And did you hear maybe why they chose to run the ball three times? It's a pretty critical spot to run the ball three times.
I don't disagree with you. Let me look and I'll tell you exactly what it was. There was 5:21 left when they got the ball. And, yep, they were up, obviously. There's still time left in this game, right? They're up by two touchdowns. I think, look, here's the reason I would give you, and I'm not telling you it's right or wrong, but I'll just offer you the reason, all right? 5:21 left, up 14 points. It's probably a time where, look, if you can get one first down, you're probably bleeding the clock down to the two-minute warning, and the game is probably from there pretty much over. I would offer you as the reason. Now, I think that there is something to be said for attacking, continuing to attack, and staying to who you are in that particular spot. Let's also remember they had a quarterback who hurt his shoulder a little bit earlier in the game, and that could have factored into that decision as well. The three and out, not good. They did not run the ball well in that situation. But I think, and I would offer you, John, the reason to me would be you're hoping for a first down and you think you can get one. And with 5:21 left, if you get one first down, you're probably bleeding the clock down to close to the 2 minute warning.
Correct. Yeah, and that's what I was hoping for.
I don't know if that satisfies you thinking it was the right call, but at least maybe some reasoning behind it. Sorry, John, you're breaking up. So hopefully I helped you out with that. And like I said, you can decide if that's right or wrong. I would have liked to have seen them throw. They also got into a 3rd and 12. It's funny because let's go back to that. Actually, I remember this play. It's 3rd and 12 from the Buffalo 38. And Josh Allen was exactly 12 yards shy of 300 yards passing. And I'm like, throw for a first down. He's got 300 yards. They didn't. They ran the ball. Vegas took a timeout. The Bills wound up punting back to them. They got the ball back with 3:31 left. Like I said, if you get one first down there, you're probably taking the clock down to the two-minute warning, if not pretty close to it, before you have to get rid of the ball again if you get stopped. I don't think it was a horrible decision. I also think, again, Josh Allen got hurt. Let's remember that. They might have went into the thinking of, let's not put our quarterback more in harm's way any more than we have to here. Chuck out in Blaisdell. Hi, Chuck. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Love the show. 4-0, baby.
Yeah, thanks.
Just everybody's down on the defense, man. I mean, defense is down across the league. I absolutely still love what I see from this defense in terms of their overall production. Yes, they seem to have this lag in performance in the third quarter, which that seems to be an offensive and defensive struggle. But they seem very bend but don't break. You know, they do a
good right.
job of, you know, limiting teams to field goals. I mean, even last week, you know, it seemed like the Rams were moving the ball good down the field, and then they'd get inside or close to the red zone, and we'd come up with some critical stops. You know, and just in terms of like a true defensive assessment, you know, where do you kind of see this team right now? And what is like the one big thing that they need to improve on to push them back up into what we would consider a top five defense?
Well, I think that the consistency needs to show up a little bit more. I don't disagree with anything you said there. I agree. I think that, you know, A, we're seeing defense down across the board in the league, and that could be attributed to a lot of things. One of them could be that they haven't had the acclimation to go tackle. Micah Hyde said they usually get 4 games to go and tackle people, you know, in preseason. They haven't had that. There's missed tackles going on. They also didn't have the same acclimation with each other through the offseason like receivers and quarterbacks did in getting together and throwing routes. Now, you can go one-on-one, but it's hard for an entire defense to go against that, especially with running backs and running game, things like that. I agree with the bend but don't break. It's a great point. And I'm going to illustrate it for you. Yesterday, on the Raiders' first four drives, 48 yards, field goal. 59 yards, field goal. 73 yards, field goal. They did have a touchdown mixed in. The bend but don't break mentality is right, but you can't live and die like that. They need to be more consistent on getting teams off the field, and to me, that's where it comes from. Third down defense, making a play in a critical spot is what this team is lacking right now until they finally did in the fourth quarter when they got a couple of turnovers. Hopefully that helps. All right, we will take a timeout to get to the next hour. This hour flew by. We got a whole nother hour. That's going to fly by. Stay on. If you're on right now, I'm going to get to you. I promise. It's the Extra Point Show. That's what I do. I take calls. We got sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, a lot headed your way still on the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.